Hi, welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We're always interested in your thoughts. Drop us a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com with your suggestions and comments. Let us know what's going on where you are. Indiana limestone, part of the Pentagon, the U.S. Capitol, the Empire State Building, and countless other structures across the country. It's one of the state's best-known distinctive exports. As a cultural reference, it was part of the 1979 film Breaking Away about the rivalry between snobby college kids and Bloomington locals, known in the movie as Cutters, because of the stone-cutting business in Monroe County. But the limestone business has struggled. Foreign competition, a shift over the years to other materials, the slowdown in construction during the Great Recession. 6 months ago, a major southern Indiana limestone company filed for bankruptcy and announced the layoff of its entire workforce of 166 people. But with the national economy picking up again and the improvement in commercial construction, the Indiana stone business may be on the upswing. Will Bybee is owner and president of Bybee Stone Company, which has a 50,000-square-foot limestone mill in Ellettsville, a few minutes west of Bloomington. We toured his plant, which can be a pretty loud place, filled with the roar of saws cutting through giant blocks of limestone.
Your work is in place all over the country. What are some of the places we would see your work? The Pentagon?
Yes, the Pentagon. You would see our work up in Carmel at the Palladium. You would see it down in Nashville, Tennessee at the Schimmerhorn. You would see it out in Las Vegas with the Smith Center. All these are performing arts centers. And then you'll see it at the Gallard over in Charleston, South Carolina, another performing arts center. We've done work on the cathedral. The National Cathedral was worked on in construction for 80-some years, and we got the privilege of doing the last 12 years of in the two front towers of that cathedral. We've done a lot of different work.
You seem like a modest person, but you have to feel a little pride in looking at these. These are the very best buildings. This is the only time they use your work, right? These are, you said, generational. Buildings meant to last generations, not 40 years.
Yes, we definitely take pride in the kind of work we do because my sons, my grandsons, my great-grandsons and daughters, all of these folks can go and look at the building that we did, you know, 100, 200, 300 years from now, and it'll still be standing. And, it's nice to build something that lasts. It's not an easy job. It's a very difficult job, actually, to do custom limestone or do custom anything because you have to draw all this information from the architect and the owners and general contractors and so forth so you can actually fabricate. And it's that drawing of information is very difficult. And then you have to take that information and you have to be able to get it right, you know, while I'm here in Indiana and I'm sending stone to New York or Miami or wherever, it's got to fit. So if our drawings are wrong or something's amiss, that stone's going to be wrong too, and that's never a good thing. But we have a pretty good reputation of being able to get it right, even with less information than we'd like to see.
Do your cutters ever make things for themselves? For instance, if you lived across the street from one of your cutters, would you find a...
Yeah, you could find a bench, a birdbath, a mailbox, something to hold a mailbox. I mean, you could find numerous things that a stone cutter might make for himself or others. And a lot of them on their own, outside of the plant, actually work for themselves and sell things to others, you know. So, yes, they absolutely do work on the side.
Are there fewer limestone fabricators like you around now than there were 20 years ago, 50 years ago?
Our size, yes, absolutely.
And your size being a large?
Large, yeah. Large.
There's just fewer people around. How do you stay ahead? Are you innovating in your methods or your...
Our processes in fabrication are fairly traditional. In fact, they're very traditional. We have not gone to CNC machines and automated saws.
CAD type stuff?
Yes. We do use CAD and we use Revit and BIM processes in our drafting room, but we do not have much of that in fabrication. In fact, we hardly have any, and it has a lot to do by I made that decision, the company in general made decision that, you know, until something comes up that makes us more profitable, you know, from the machinery folks, what's been used for a lot of years really works well to produce Indiana limestone. So innovative in that way, no. I guess we're innovative in the way we train our people. Our people are the most important part of what we do here, and they're all craftsmen and they're all professionals in what they do, and to keep them happy and satisfied and working is what we, that's our main goal, because they're the really the if they don't drive the tools in the right manner, we end up not being as good as what we need to be.
I could imagine it being hard to find people who could do this.
Actually, if all it takes is a willing spirit. It's not, this isn't rocket science, but it takes devotion. And
but it could take 6 years for somebody to become a journeyman.
For a stone cutter, it can take 5 to 7 years. For a planerman, it could take 3 to 5. Yes, you're not going to train somebody in a year and have them be productive. So it's a long-term investment from the company to the employee, and we feel that's worked out for us pretty well, trying to make sure that we train them properly and get them to do what we need them to do. So our own apprentice program and our own training program is an absolute necessity here.
When we walked through the plant, I saw it looked like a person using a hammer and a wedge. I can imagine some of these techniques going back. This is the way people have always worked with stone in some cases, right?
In some cases, yes. I mean, a hammer and a set of slips and a wedge has been used by the Egyptians, I'm certain. So, I mean, it goes back a long way. Yep.
And you combine that, though, with these saws and other techniques, you're doing this precision work mm-hmm. with rock. To me, it looks like rock, and you're carving these stone. I'm sorry.
Rock is what you're standing on right here.
The stone, and able to put these curves to it and angles and...
Well, it is very complicated, and it's not easy to do, but it's definitely possible to do, and we do it.
Like a rolling stone.
Will Bybee, who followed his father and grandfather into the stone business, the signature industry in the south central part of the state, including Bloomington and Bedford.
Indiana Weekend, real radio from just down the road. Look for that name on Facebook and drop us a line. Let us know what you think at indianaweekend@gmail.com.
Will Bybee, President, CEO of Bybee Stone Company, Ellisville, Indiana. We are Indiana limestone fabricators, all custom type fabricator.
And here we are, and this is... In another setting, you might call this the warehouse. This is where the raw material is, but we're outside on a big lot, and we're surrounded by stacks of these blocks that I guess one way to think about it would be one of those little Mini Coopers, one of those little cars. This is about the size of them. Any idea what one of these pieces might weigh?
The average size is probably 15 to 20 tons.
One of these blocks might get turned into, what would you say? I mean, how many?
Well, since we do custom work, it could get turned into practically anything. It just depends on the mind of the owner and the architect.
And in some cases, are we talking about that you go up to the entrance of a building and there's some detail around there? In other words, they don't build the whole building out of the limestone. The limestone might be the face, or it might be some of the details and touches. is on the exterior? Is that a way to say it?
Well, maybe you're speaking about trim around on buildings. Yes, it's used as a trim type material also. It'll be used around windows, doors, and cornices and that sort of thing. There might be a brick facing or a granite facing, you know, in the field in between all the windows. So yes, it's used as a trim sometimes also.
Your product was used in the reconstruction of the Pentagon after 9/11. When we're looking at that structure now, what would we see? I mean, you would be the more than just the trim in that case, right?
No, that was the whole facing of the building. And it was, I can't remember exactly how many feet it was across where the plane went in, but they had to tear it back a lot farther because of the fire and so forth. But I want to say 300 to 400 feet of the facing for 5 or 6 floors had to be replaced.
By the way, as we stand out here among these blocks, I see dates written on them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's in part because this stone, when it comes out of the ground, you have to cure it, right?
Well, there's natural groundwater in the blocks, and it needs to come out of the blocks before winter. And normally 40 to 60 days is what you'll need to have to get all the moisture out of the block so it won't be hurt by cold weather. And I mean minus 6, 5, 4 in 2 or 3 days like that. It takes that much to actually do something to the block, but it can hurt the block by those temperatures if it still has that moisture in it.
Is the stone business a big employer?
It used to be. It is not today. 40, 50 years ago it was. These days, no. It's I employ about 80 people, and there's a couple other companies here in Monroe also that employ X amount, but when you compare it to other businesses, it's not a large.
Or where it used to be, right?
Or where it used
to be. And part of that because it was more commonly used in the 40s and 50s? And
it was more commonly used, you know, back in the heyday of what stone people call the heyday. And yes, that was 40s, 50s, even back in the 30s and 20s.
Did you ever see a movie called Breaking Away a long time ago?
I did. That was actually the mill part of that job was actually, or that job, that movie. Was actually filmed at Woolery Stone Company, which is my family's stone company.
That's where you started, and it was started, that company started by your great-grandfather.
And one of my younger brothers was actually in that as one of the stone cutters sitting outside.
In the movie, I mean, some of us, that's formed our impression of the region. Was some of that true in terms of the pride of people and, hey, you know, this is who we are. You know, we're the people who make the stone that builds the world.
Absolutely. And I think it's still true even today, even though there's fewer people in this industry. So, yes, it was. It was fairly truthful. I mean, it was a movie. And I think they did a fairly decent representation considering it was a movie.
What do they call
a documentary?
Right. What do they call people in the industry? We call them stone people, or what did you say?
Well, in the movie, if you remember, they called anybody that was in the stone industry cutters. And that was a falsehood, and we were all called stonies. But back in that particular time period, that was derogatory to a certain point because of drug use and that sort of thing, and they cut that out. But we'd always been called stonies.
Is that true today as well?
You know, I think cutters have actually caught on, so I don't know. I don't have a clue. I mean, the Little 500 team is still called the cutters, not the stonies. So
your great-grandfather, your grandfather, your dad, then you, one of your sons, or two of your sons, went to Ball State University, right? Are they following you in the business?
Well, one of them now works for us. He went to the architectural school there at Ball State. And my middle son, who went to Ball State, is a broadcast meteorologist down in Arkansas.
Come on, come on, answer it.
This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss on Indiana Public Radio.
From the Pentagon to the Empire State Building to the Palladium Center for Performing Arts in Carmel, Indiana, Southern Indiana Limestone has helped build some of the country's most impressive structures. It's not quite the business it was in years past. There's a lot of foreign competition now and alternatives to constructing things with limestone. But limestone is still used on what are called generational buildings, those built to stand the test of time. You can see that in Indianapolis, where the state capitol, the Soldiers and Sailors Monument, War Memorial, and other icons are constructed of oolitic limestone. One of the country's best-known fabricators of this building material is Bybee Stone Company in Ellettsville. Will Bybee followed his father and grandfather into the business.
Well, this is the plant number, what we call plant number one, and it's where we do all of our profile and angled work, anything on a radius and so forth, and anything that's not flat and plain. Plant number two is where we do everything flat and plain.
So we're in a building that looks like almost like an airplane hangar or a very large warehouse with cranes overhead and workers who are working with pieces of stone with angles, and it looks like over here there are patterns maybe hanging on some of these.
Yeah, those are templates for that are recognized on the shop tickets, so these guys know what to do with the stone when it actually gets to them. And it follows, a shop ticket follows these guys, follows the stone all the way through the plant.
Some of us are used to seeing, driving down the road, a flatbed truck with a giant block of stone on it. But what we're looking at here are pieces that are, in some cases, the size of a toaster oven or something like that.
Yeah, this is finished product. You'll see when we get down at the far end, the blocks that you were talking about that you've seen on the flatbed trailer. So we start with that big block, saw it, and we modify it until we get what we need for the customer.
When did it slow down the most? Would that have been around 09 maybe? Or?
You know, I have always been able to keep enough work here. It's the problem is how much money I can get for that work. And that's been the problem for the last 6-7 years because everything is so competitively bid that a profit is really not in the cards. So, I mean, not to say we never make profit, we do make a profit, but it's not as much as we'd like to see. And I don't remember the figures for usage of natural stone that comes from internationally, but it's a huge percentage compared to domestic.
When we talk about Indiana limestone and the fact that this limestone is closer to the surface here than limestone deposits in most other places, that doesn't mean that you do not face foreign competition.
What I've been told and seen in writing is that of the natural stone that United States buys, 70 or 80% of that is foreign, comes from foreign companies and foreign quarries. So we've got a huge amount of foreign companies working or selling their product here in the United States. The domestic people have got a whole lot less of the pie than the international group.
Can you tell us what we're looking at here? This is intricately carved, and it's amazing that this is from a single piece of stone. It appears to be a palm tree.
Palmetto,
excuse me.
That's a state tree of South Carolina.
And that's where this is going?
It's going to Charleston, yes.
Can you describe this a little bit?
It's got a palmetto tree in the center of it with a couple of rosettes on either side. It's a basic Corinthian style, but it's a lot more customized to fit the building that this is going on.
And is this something that goes atop a column, like a capital?
Yes. There's 12 sets of columns and caps. There's 6 on each entrance, front and back. And we've already sent the first 6 columns and 6 full round caps, and they're in the process of setting them now, and probably sometime late this summer we'll send them the balance of that to go on the other side.
How long does it take somebody to learn to do that. We're looking at, and by the way, I can see if the hammer slips or something like that, that could be a problem.
You
could.
Well, yeah, it's, you wouldn't want to make a big mistake or have something happen, because these caps anywhere from 350 to 400 hours for one man. So it's a lot of work for one person to do. Normally we'll have several guys working on pieces this big, though not all the time. Sometimes a single guy will do the whole capital.
It's incredible that it's from a single piece of stone that must weigh an awful lot.
Yeah, I don't know the exact weight on it, but I would guess it would probably be 2.5-3 tons.
We're standing next to it. It's on a pallet, and it comes up to about almost to our chest. So this is a big piece of stone.
You can design and detail Indiana limestone in so many different ways that there's limitless possibilities for a design. So that's another reason I think it has been used in the past, and it's been used on, you know, east of the Mississippi River. Every metropolitan area in the country has Indiana limestone buildings in the metropolitan area.
What are some of the projects that your work has gone into? You mentioned the Pentagon.
We did the restoration of the Pentagon when the plane went in at 9/11. We've restored the west front of the U.S. Capitol. We have done the last 12 years of the Washington Cathedral. We've done a lot of very nice work. We've done the restoration of the Iowa State Capitol, all the trim work on the State Capitol. Well, we've had the opportunity to do a lot of very nice work in Indiana limestone, and some of them fairly high profile.
This is the equivalent of your warehouse of your finished product out here.
Right, and this is for the same building, all this molded work that you see laying around, and it's just ready for the job site as soon as they're ready for it.
Will Bybee, owner and president of Bybee Stone Company in Ellettsville. His two sons went to Ball State, and one of them is following his father into the family business in an industry that's not the size it used to be, but still supplying the classic look to structures like the Pentagon, the U.S. Capitol, and the Palladium in Carmel. Hey, that's our show for today. I'm John Strauss. Big thanks to our producer, Sean Ashcraft. Glad you could join us this time, and hope you'll stay in touch. Drop me a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com if you would like more information or have a suggestion. In the meantime, thanks and have a great week. Until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Sean Ashcraft. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from Dillman's Furniture of Muncie, serving East Central Indiana with home furnishings from FlexSteel, Bassett, and Simmons Beautyrest. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.